Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we're answering your questions about possible lineup changes for the Dodgers, the future at third base, and then we are talking about what we think is going to happen with the roster crunch coming up next week. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. That's my co-host, Vince Samperio. Although Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you. And we've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, which is probably a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So again, please subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. And let's talk about the Dodgers. Vince, we got a couple of really good questions from listeners today that we're going to jump into. And as I mentioned, then after that, we'll talk a little bit about what we're expecting from the roster changes that have to happen early next week. But first, I thought maybe we ought to just touch a little bit on what's happening this weekend at Dodger Stadium, because Clayton Kershaw most likely is going to write his name in the Dodgers record books as the most strikeouts in Dodger history. He's currently three behind Don Sutton, so three will tie him, four will put him in the lead by himself. And once Kershaw passes Sutton, it's hard to picture anybody, I don't know, ever passing Kershaw, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just based on the nature of a guy playing that long with one team, you know, pitchers going that deep into games, being able to rack up that many strikeouts, just with the nature of that, I don't think we'll see it again. And if we do, you know, maybe it could, I guess, in theory, be Walker Buehler, although Walker Buehler got a way later start in terms of age than Clayton Kershaw did. Again, Kershaw was up at age 20. Walker Buehler was not up at age 20. So, yeah, I mean, it's – one of those where, you know, for me, I've never felt connected to Don Sutton at all. Like, I don't feel – I know he's on the Dodgers. I know he has these records and different things and, you know, Hall of Famer. But I guess because he hasn't really been around since, you know, the time that he retired from baseball or whatever else, never felt connected to him. So, for Kershaw, it's like, obviously, I feel connected to him. And then him about to pass Sutton, it's like, oh, he's passing Sutton. So, it doesn't feel like with all the, you know, pitching and history and everything that the Dodgers have, for Don Sutton to have that record is just a little bit weird for me specifically, just because you don't feel connected. You don't hear about him as much as you do some of these other guys, you know, Fernando and Hershiser and even Don Newcomb and Don Drysdale from back in the day. But yeah, for Kershaw, it's going to be great and just solidifies his legacy as a Dodger.
Yeah, it's I think there's a few reasons. There's kind of a generation of basically anybody my age or younger doesn't really remember Don Sutton as a Dodger other than his really brief time in 1988 when he came back to the Dodgers. You know, most of us remember him as a Braves announcer, you know, and that's the main thing. I remember him when he was pitching for the Angels. I got his autograph at some signing thing, and you know, my grandparents loved Don Sutton. But I think another thing about it is he debuted in 1966, the year after the Dodgers won the World Series. And he left the Dodgers after the 1980 season, the year before the Dodgers won the World Series. So he was there for three World Series losses, but never did win a World Series. And then he came back in 1988 and was cut from the team in August. And so he came really, really close to being a part of three World Series championship teams. Instead, he was a part of zero. And so, you know, those guys you mentioned, Newcomb and Koufax and Drysdale and all those guys, they were a part of World Series championship teams. So even though neither of us was even alive when any of those guys were pitching, they won World Series for the Dodgers. And so we kind of remember them. So I have, you know, I don't have any negative memories of Don Sutton. I don't have anything against the guy, but yeah, it is kind of interesting that he has held that record because he was a Dodger for a long, long time. But part of it is, I mean, he pitched 23 seasons. And so after his 15 years with the Dodgers, then he pitched another 7 years away from the Dodgers before he came back and played his last partial season with the Dodgers. And so, he pitched against the Dodgers in the 81 playoffs when the Dodgers won the World Series. So kind of a weird one, but obviously everybody who listens to this show knows how I feel about Clayton Kershaw. So I'm excited to get him at the top of that list. I hope that Kershaw sticks around long enough to get to 3,000 career strikeouts and gets them all with the Dodgers. Obviously, I hope everything he does as a baseball player happens with the Dodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's jump into our mailbag. We've got, let's see, first question. Which one were we going to do first? The lineup question. So, Zach at Zach55USMC just thinks, do we think the Dodgers should switch up their everyday lineup? The two that he specifically mentions are dropping Mookie out of the leadoff spot and moving JT down in the order because he's mostly been batting cleanup. So, we're going to spend most of our second segment talking about Justin Turner's kind of future, but this is more for right now. So I don't know if you have any thoughts specifically on Mookie and JT or any other lineup changes you might like to see.
Yeah, I think there is a conversation for Turner to maybe move down. We're not quite a month into it, but there's guys that are hitting better around him. There's guys that are probably better suited for that spot around him now. So I'd agree with that. And we'll get a little bit more in depth about that in the next segment. And then in terms of Mookie, I mean, we just talked about the other day how, you know, even though he's struggling, he's still leading the league or up near the top in runs scored. When he does get on base, when he does score a run, I think the Dodgers are now like 9-1 when he scores a run in a game. So I think Mookie's only going to get better. He's not going to get worse. And the fact that he's already been this productive when he hasn't been that good means that it's only going to get better from here on out. Plus, you know, if it's one of those things where, okay, Mookie's struggling, but Freddie and Trey are doing really good. So if you take Mookie out of the leadoff, put Trey up there, you know, he's going to have maybe a different mentality or a different mindset or different things when he comes to the plate. You know, Trey's been used to having guys on base when they come to the plate now in a little bit different situation. So it's a matter of, you know, do you really want to mess with that too much when in theory it's working because Mookie Betts is scoring a lot of runs. So I don't think they need to switch it up top. I do think, you know, Turner's nearing that leash for me, you know, for me to kind of say, hey, you should still bat on the top half of this lineup. And I think keeping the lower half, you know, keeping Bellinger and Lux and all those guys are down in the lower half is good. So I really think it's just a matter of maybe moving Will Smith up and putting JT maybe down fifth, sixth, or yeah, probably right there because I like Bellinger, Taylor, and Lux down there at the bottom. So that's where I'm at right now. You know, it's kind of weird because it feels like they've been playing forever, but realistically it's only been 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think I mostly agree with everything you said. It's kind of funny that the three guys who you would consider putting in the leadoff spot instead of Mookie, you know, guys who are at least as fast as Mookie and probably all three faster is Trey, Chris Taylor, and Gavin Lux. And I definitely like the idea of not putting Trey there for the reasons you mentioned. He's really kind of thriving in his spot. We've talked before about how I like the idea of I like having Gavin Lux batting ninth where there's not much pressure. And right now would be a weird time to move in leadoff because he actually is having his first slump of the season right now. And Chris Taylor has the highest swing and miss percentage on the team, which, you know, he's still having a successful season so far, but it's a, I don't know. He doesn't scream leadoff man to me for that reason. There is so much swing and miss, a lot of strikeouts and all that. So all in all, you know, between Mookie starting to wake up anyway and where being where he's comfortable with, and there's not really an obvious better option, I think I like the idea of Mookie there.
Yeah, and like I said, it's working right now. Obviously, you know, Mookie could be doing better. But when you look at just, you know, on base percentage, despite having a low batting average, Mookie's still up there in on base percentage. So it's you know, ebbs and flows obviously are going to happen. Like I said, we're only 3 weeks in, but I do think they're in a good spot lineup wise. They're averaging probably around 5 runs a game anyways. And you know, it, realistically, they're in a good spot. I mean, there's nothing else to say. And even if Mookie, like I said, not hitting, he's drawn 12 walks, only struck out 16 times. So that's a recipe for success. I guess if you really wanted to put somebody up there, not thinking about speed and thinking about just on base, you know, Max Muncy has 16 walks and only 14 strikeouts. So even though he's not hitting, his OBP's pretty high up there for a guy that's hitting 155.
Yeah. So we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about the future of the Dodgers at the third base position. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. Hey, guess what, y'all? Summer's coming. And sometimes in the summer, you're on the go. You know, you're running to your kids' baseball game, or, you know, heading to the beach or whatever it is, and you just need a nice, easy, portable snack. Well, how about taking something that's actually good for you too? Doesn't get more portable or more good for you than Built Bar. Built Bar is, every one of them is delicious. They're all covered in chocolate, and yet they're healthy for you. They are, you know, they're easy to throw in your kids' backpacks. Just, you know, my kids often take them to school with them to just have as a snack mid-morning or whatever, if they need a snack. Take it before their baseball games, or to eat if they have a doubleheader, to eat one between games to give them that energy. So many good things. And there are so many different flavors. And one thing I discovered today is that I've talked to you all about the Built Bar mix boxes, where you can get a bunch of different flavors. Well, the mix box now is 9 different flavors of bars, one each, and all 3 of the flavors of Built Puffs, which are basically like chocolate-covered strawberries, or strawberries, marshmallows, chocolate-covered marshmallows that are actually healthy for you. And so you can get a mix box. It'll be 9 flavors of bars, 3 flavors of puffs. And then you'll know exactly what you like. So the next time you order, you can order exactly what you want. And crazy thing is, I was out and about at a baseball game the other day. I actually overheard a lady saying, I want to order some Built Bars, but I can't remember a promo code. You're going to think I'm making this up. I am not making this up. And I told her, go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your order. That's what I told her. Use promo code LOCKED15 at 15% off at built.com, and that's what I'm telling you. I also want to talk to you about Blue Nile. Mother's Day is coming up in like 9 days, and jewelry is a very common gift idea for the special person in your life, whether it's your wife, your girlfriend, your mom, your mother-in-law, your grandma. A lot of times, us guys like to buy jewelry for the women in our lives. And if you're like me, you're really bad at buying jewelry. I love to buy jewelry for my wife, except I have no idea what looks good. I have no idea what she's going to like. There's all sorts of issues with that. Well, Blue Nile solves that because they have experts on hand 24/7 via phone or chat to help you pick what you want. They're good at this. You're not, if you're like me. And so they also have a free 30-day returns, you know, totally guaranteed, satisfaction guaranteed. They're back everything for life, service and repair for life. It's a great, they can even do overnight shipping for you. If you don't get around to ordering for Mother's Day until late next week, you can still get it on time. All those things, all the reasons that you should go to BlueNile.com. And this Mother's Day, just until Mother's Day, you can get $50 off a purchase of $500. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day. Just use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. All right, we are back. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. For your next listen, when you're done with this, maybe check out the Locked On Now podcast. Recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network. Free and available wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Vince, you want to read that next question? You're on mute, so you should probably unmute before you read it.
Yeah, let's look at it. Josh at xjoshma says, for long-term consideration, do the Dodgers need to shop for a third baseman before the trade deadline?
Yeah, this is a, you know, we were talking about Justin Turner, where he is in the lineup, but, you know, the fact is he's not getting any younger. Today, I think the Dodgers have an option on him for next year. Is that right? And so they could be done with Justin Turner after this year. I do think Justin Turner is going to turn it on. I don't totally believe that he just suddenly got old and is done being a good player. But I think he might be done. I think this might be his last year, if he even makes it this full year, as their everyday third baseman. And so it is something to start thinking about. And, you know, this question specifically asks if they should start thinking about that at the trade deadline and go after somebody there. I don't know that their, you know, their forever third baseman is going to be available on the trade market this trade deadline. You know, Matt Chapman already got traded. And I think, did the Blue Jays extend him?
Yeah, they already extended him.
Okay, so he's off the board. Nolan Arenado had his chance to opt out with the Cardinals and didn't do it. And so even though I know we have a listener whose parents, a listener who works at a restaurant near where Nolan Arenado's parents live. And he told me once that Nolan Arenado's parents were sure that Arenado was going to end up as a Dodger, but that doesn't seem like it's happening anytime soon. And so, you know, and the Dodgers have some options. Yeah, they have Miguel Vargas, who is one of their top hitting prospects. I don't know if anybody expects him to stay at third base. But yeah, I mean, the third base question is, I don't really know what the answer is. And I haven't dug in too much to see who's going to be a free agent after this year. Because those people, you know, if there's somebody who's in the last year of their contract and they're playing for a team, a non-contender, they might be available at the deadline. But with the expanded playoffs, there's going to be more contenders, or at least teams that think they might be in it. So I don't know what the deadline is going to be like anyway, but I don't know. You have any thoughts, Vince? Anybody jump out at you?
No, nobody jumps out at me. I definitely do think, you know, if Turner at this point, you know, it's probably a greater conversation about him. He's down. Yes, we're 3 weeks in, so, you know, very small sample size, but, you know, he's hitting 206, OBP of 257, slugging 254. So far, I think he's got his launch angles down, lowest of his career so far. His strikeout percentage is highest of his career so far. His walk percentage, lowest of his career so far. I do think he's going to turn around, though. I do think, you know, maybe with the little bit older age that it's taking him a little bit longer to get going, you know, for whatever the case is. I know we've seen April be his worst month in terms of power numbers before up until last year. So maybe it's just a matter of him getting going. But yeah, I don't know if there's a for sure like answer out there right now. There's definitely, you know, and then they're going to have the question at shortstop as well if they don't re-sign Trey Turner. So it's just, you know, they could backfill. You know, Edwin Rios could play third base and probably be serviceable in terms of, you know, but I don't know if that's the guy you want as your everyday third baseman. If you're a team with World Series aspirations, we just, you know, haven't quite seen that type of production out of there. You know, you look at it, it's Arenado. Yeah, Correa would be available. Trey Turner, Xander Bogaerts, who didn't sign an extension over there with the Red Sox. You got, other than after that, there's not much out there. You know, Evan Longoria is going to be a free agent. He's not anybody that's worthy of playing third base. So it is kind of interesting to see. But I also don't think there's anybody on the trade market. Like, I think with the expanded playoffs, it's going to change, kind of shift the market a little bit. We've already seen, like you said, Matt Chapman get traded and extended. And I don't think there's anyone else out there. You know, you think about the Reds, they traded their third baseman, Eugenio Suarez, before the season. You think about other bad teams, and I don't think there's any third baseman that stand out specifically. So it is a matter of they can do it internally, but then you're going to have to spend the money on either the short, on like a really good shortstop, because, you know, you need to kind of cover your bases a little bit. So I don't know. And then the other part on Justin Turner is just like, at what point do we start worrying a little bit about maybe he is done?
Yeah. You know, one name that neither of us said, and it might be the answer staring us right in the face, is the guy who has started at third base almost every time JT's played DH this year. That's Max Muncy. You know, they don't have a spot at first base anymore for Muncy. If they re-sign Trey Turner or go after a shortstop, they don't really have a spot at second base, because that's Gavin Lux's position right now. And so, you know, Muncy has been a pretty solid. Obviously, he had a huge throwing error that kind of cost the Dodgers the game in whatever day that was, Wednesday's game. But overall, he's been pretty solid at third base. And, you know, he's shown at two different positions in his career, he has turned himself into a good fielder there. And so there's no reason to think he couldn't do the same thing at third base. So the answer might just be Max Muncy.
Yeah, honestly, you know, we didn't mention him, and that's the internal candidate there. And he hasn't played third base as much, and I do think in the limited times he's played third base, for whatever reason, it's not like 100% comfort there. But like you said, if he's a guy, they say, hey, Max, we want you to be third baseman next year. We've already seen him do it, as you said, in two different positions, becoming a pretty good very above serviceable second baseman, almost a glove or gold glove caliber first baseman. You know, we were really comfortable with him last year at first base. So I don't see there being an issue with him, you know, becoming that guy at third base. It's just a matter of getting the throws down, which is, you know, we've seen him a couple of times already this year, maybe rush a throw a little bit. And, you know, he threw off his wrong foot one time and Freeman had to scoop it out. The one on the bump the other day, it was a little bit high. I do think, you know, obviously if it was weird because it looked like if Freeman would have just tried to get the ball instead of getting the out, then it would have stayed in the infield. But also Max Muncy fired the ball from a short distance. So he probably, you know, Freddie wasn't ready for that, but I do think he can fill that role. But like you said, it's just a matter of what else they're going to do because, you know, if you lose Trey Turner, then maybe Lux moves to short, then you kind of need a second baseman, but second baseman is a lot easier to fill than third base. So at the end of the day, it's not that big a deal. And they do have a lot of guys coming up, but it's none of them are like defense guys that also hit. There are a lot of guys that can hit and you try to fit them in on defense.
Yeah. So definitely something to look at, but yeah, like you mentioned, I'm looking at the list of third basemen who will be free agents after this season. And it is not good. There are no options there, literally no options. So none of them are under 30 and none of them are good at baseball anymore, basically. Huh. So thank you guys for those questions. We really appreciate it. You don't have to wait for us to put out a call for questions. You can send questions over anytime. We'll give you all our contact info at the end of the episode, like we always do. We're going to come back in a second. We're going to talk about the upcoming roster moves that the Dodgers will have to make at the beginning of next week and our thoughts on what they might be. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. Did you know that betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info? Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we are back. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We really appreciate it. We love talking Dodgers with you, and we love that you keep showing up to listen to us. So with that said, let's jump into our last topic, which is the roster crunch. The rosters, because of the shortened spring training, Major League Baseball and the union agreed to go with 28-man rosters for the first, you know, 3.5 weeks of the season. That is up on May 1st, and they have to go back to 26 players. Originally, that would have been 13 pitchers and 13 position players. They did extend the limit out for a couple more weeks that they can have 14 pitchers. Dodgers have been carrying 16 pitchers almost this entire season, other than a day or two. And so the Dodgers currently do have 16 pitchers on the roster, and basically they're going to have to cut two of them. In a way, it makes it easier for the Dodgers because, you know, they're cutting two players and they both have to be pitchers. And so looking at who they are, I don't know. There's obviously some guys on their current roster who are locks to stay on the roster. I don't know, Vince, how about you pick one and I'll pick one that you think is going to get demoted, and then we'll argue and see if there's anybody else who has possibilities.
Yeah. And then, you know, just a quick note on that, and maybe we have to end up picking two each because David Price is coming back and he could be one that, I guess, you know, they make a decision on, or one of us picks. And then also if Tommy Canley does come back early next week, then that's, you know, those
there might
guys.
Be four guys. Yeah.
So it might be four guys, but we'll go one and one, and then we'll go into the next round after that. But I think I was going to go with a guy that can give you some length, but I'm just going to go with the guy that already was sent down, and that's Garrett Clevenger. So just because he's already been sent down, they don't need that many lefties. And yeah, that's just, you know, that it seems to be that'd be the easiest one. They've already used one of his options, which I guess I don't know what they did with the option limit this year. Is
it? So they can limit guy, or they can option guys up to five times in a season, but that starts on May 1st too. Okay. So the one time they've already optioned Clevenger doesn't count towards that limit.
Got it.
Yeah. And I'm going to go with Andre Jackson, the other kind of obvious one. He was just called up. He hasn't even gotten into a game yet. Right?
No.
And he might not. We'll see what happens this weekend against the Tigers. But Andre Jackson, I think, both for his development as a starting pitcher. And because of the roster crunch, he makes a lot more sense to be in AAA right now than on the big league roster.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then, yeah, I think after this one, it was harder before when we were talking about it. Obviously, Blake Trinan's on the IL right now, so that makes it a little bit easier. And then I think the next one is just going back from who they added, Reyes Maranta. He didn't really have that great of a spring. He was a guy that they liked because they brought him in and he was one of the first guys up. They cleared a roster spot for him, which, by the way, Darian Nunez, who was scheduled, already underwent Tommy John surgery. The Dodgers DFA'd him. The Giants claimed him. So clearly, might have been, I don't know, I'm assuming that Zaidi was around when we first picked him up. So they feel like there's something there, at least after a year or in a year and a half. But I think Reyes Maranta is the next one that is probably not going to make it past next month.
Yeah, and then after that, I assume it would be Justin Brule. It's hard because Brule has pitched pretty well in the times he's pitched this season, but he's got three options. He's got all three option years available. I don't think he's a key component that they're thinking of for this bullpen. And so I think it's awesome that he's gotten these, 3.5 weeks on the big league roster and got to get into some games, got a decent paycheck for a little while. But the only other one besides Justin Brule, and now that we've named our four, we can argue, Mitch White, maybe? But Mitch White's pitched really well and does give you – he is kind of the only long man currently in the bullpen.
Yeah, and that was – I would have picked Andre Jackson first, but just because, in theory there's some length there. They did use Mitch White in a little bit of a leverage situation the other day, but that's probably because they didn't need him for length because Andre Jackson was on the roster. So once Andre Jackson comes off the roster, Mitch White is your length guy. And then it's a matter of – it doesn't seem like Andrew Heaney's going to come back in the next couple weeks. It feels like he's going to miss at least two or three more starts. So then you really need that length there because you don't know what you're going to get every 5 days out of Gonsolin and out of Tyler Anderson. I mean, we saw Gonsolin the other day, didn't make it too deep into the game. Tyler Anderson has yet to make it too deep into a game. So you need a guy with some length there. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it could be Mitch White. But after that, you're going to have to get rid of a guy that's been good for you, whether it's, and I don't think it's Vesia, and I guess Evan Phillips, and even though Evan Phillips has looked really good, has, racked up those, has more 8 strikeouts in 7 innings, has given up some runs, but has a whip under 0.5 and has that nasty slider. So it's just a matter of, you get to that point is where we were kind of talking before heading into the season of, where are they going to make these decisions? And nothing really cleared up because everybody's pitched pretty well to a certain extent.
Yeah. And like you said, you got Trinan coming off the IL at some point. You got Heaney coming back. You got Caleb Ferguson and Victor Gonzalez both looking at late May returns right around the time that they have to go from 14 pitchers to 13. And so, I think I'd probably put money on the fact that David Price's days with the Dodgers are numbered because there's no way that Price fits at that point. And obviously some of these are going to be answered by the injury bug, whether it's the phantom IL or the real IL, the Dodgers, they're going to continue to use that injured list, even though it goes to 15 days for pitchers, a 15 day minimum also on May 1st. They're going to have a time where they're going to say, guess what, Daniel Hudson, your arm is sore for the next 15 days. Why don't you take some time? You're 35 years old? Yeah. Why don't you go have a sore arm for 15 days? You collect your big league paycheck with your sore arm for 15 days. Hey, Evan Phillips, better than AAA. Why don't you go take a couple weeks off? I think they're going to do a lot of that, but it's crazy to look at the 20 guys, the 20 basically pitchers right now that are either on the active roster or going to be in the next month. And say, okay, cut 7 of those guys. And really there's only 5, the 4 we named and David Price are even the only logical ones. And then it's like, okay, sorry, Mitch White, you did great, but I think you're a minor leaguer again this year,
like I said, it's not even merit based at that point. It's more just like,
Who has
seniority
options?
based. Yeah, seniority and option based, because, you look at Justin Bruin, he has decent numbers, obviously very small sample size, but he has decent numbers. Vesia, who looked a little shaky, but if you look at the peripherals, and other than his whip being a little bit higher than you might want, he's been pretty good and hasn't allowed any earned runs himself. And yeah, you just look up and down the Dodgers bullpen, you're like, man, there's not a lot of room to make cuts. So it's a matter of, yeah, like I said, they could use that IL, here and there sporadically, maybe one guy at a time, because you don't want to handicap yourself and somehow end up with two guys on there that aren't necessarily hurt, and then someone actually gets hurt, and then you put yourself in a little bit of a bind. So knowing what we know, it's a matter of, okay, somebody else is probably going to get actually hurt, and that'll kind of ease some of it. Or knowing what we know in terms of the front office, they'll try to find the best way to maximize the efficiency, aka find some kind of loophole that kind of helps them out in that spot. Because the other part too is, with the option rule starting May 1st, you can't just, Mitch White can't come up and down every time you need some length in the bullpen. You're going to have to, strategize a little more, or leave a guy like Mitch White or Andre Jackson up a little bit longer than maybe you wanted to, just because of the fact that if you send them back down, you're going to need them later in the year as well. So it's a good problem to have, because you're not usually, or at different points in the last few years, we've had to be like, oh man, like, who is going to pitch for the Dodgers, or who's going to pitch late in the innings? And now it's like, oh man, who's the OKC Dodgers are about to have one of the better bullpens, because all these guys are going to have to go down.
Yeah. And I guess we should clarify what we mean by the phantom IL. I don't think we're suggesting the Dodgers would make up an injury, but over the course of a season, I think almost every pitcher, almost every day, has something that would benefit from 2 weeks off, And so, and most of the time they battle through it because the team needs them to battle through it. But, if Bruce Dargratterall wakes up and his arm's a little bit sore, it might make sense, but for roster reasons, for the Dodgers to say, you know what, Bruce Dar, take a couple weeks off, and that's totally legitimate. And it's something that, it might even be part of the Dodgers' financial advantage, just because, you put a guy on the injured list in the major leagues, you're paying him big league pay, and you send him to the minors, he's off your big league payroll for that time, but put him on the IL, he's getting big league pay. So, I mean, all teams could afford to do that, but that's what we're saying, more than suggesting that the Dodgers just make up out of whole cloth a fake injury. But, they might be very conservative with any sort of nagging thing with some of these pitchers, just to get them off the roster for a little while.
Yeah, realistically, everybody's going to be sore once, yeah. Once we get in, even now, but once we get into the summer months, everyone is sore. So,
yeah. And speaking of guys who aren't currently on the roster and, I guess could contribute to this pitching roster crunch, Trevor Bauer's administrative leave as of right now, which it's like 11:30 p.m. on Thursday, April 28th. Trevor Bauer's current version of administrative leave is set to expire today, the 29th, and has not yet been officially extended. I assume it will be, because I don't think anything's changed, especially with his lawsuit filed. And, maybe Major League Baseball is going to realize, well, this lawsuit's going to drag forever, so we're going to just have to make our decision at some point without his cooperation. And so maybe they aren't going to extend it. Maybe we're actually going to get some word today on what the deal is with Trevor Bauer. But my guess is that we will find out later today that his leave has been extended once again.
Yeah, it would appear so, although there was that conspiracy that they're going to announce it because the NFL draft and NBA playoffs are going on, and they want to distract, or not have that. It's Friday news dump, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what happens, but I think that's it for today. Right, Vince?
Yep.
All right. Thank you all for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Like I said, it means the world to us. If you look for another episode or another show to make your second listen, check out Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It is free and available wherever you get podcasts. If you are not watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every day, we would love it if you add a couple days a month to your rotation. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, please tell them about the show. Anything you can do to help us get the word out, we would appreciate it. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. You can reach out to us anytime. You can also reach out to us via email at LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com. Or you can text us or leave us a voicemail. That phone number is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Have a good one.